An hour later, he was behind the wheel of a Warthog, speeding east on the Gladsheim Highway with Captain Ponder in the passenger seat beside him. With Epsilon Indy beating down directly overhead, Avery was unusually glad of the vehicle's stripped-down design. In a war zone, the Warthog's lack of roof and doors made it a dangerous ride. But when the only enemy you faced was the sweaty cling of a navy blue dress uniform, its open-air passenger compartment was an absolute blessing. To help keep themselves cool, both men had removed their navy blue dress coats and rolled their shirt sleeves to their elbows. Ponder opted to keep his false arm covered. Avery guessed because the prosthetic's titanium joints would get uncomfortably warm in the direct sunlight. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the captain reach up and scratch his shoulder, massaging the nanofiber junction where the circuits met the man. For some time, Avery and Ponder sat in silence and watched the wheat fields around the garrison give way to vast peach and apple orchards. Avery wasn't sure how best to break the ice. He didn't just want to come out and ask, "Why am I here?" He guessed there was a good reason why the captain was keeping the information secret and suspected it would take a little more finesse to draw his answer out. So he started with something simple.
"Sir, if you don't mind me asking, what happened to your arm?"
M-EDF-921-1, Ponder replied, raising his voice above the Warthog's roar. "You familiar with the unit?" Avery automatically parsed the code. 9th Marine Expeditionary Force, 21st Division, 1st Battalion. It was one of the many units serving in Epsilon Eridanus.
"Yes, sir. Hard-ass grunts."
"That they were." The captain reached two of his prosthetic's metal fingers into his shirt pocket and retrieved a Sweet William cigar.
"I used to be their CO.
Avery tightened his grip on the steering wheel as a hauler blew by in the opposite direction.
"What sort of action did you see?"
He did his best to keep a casual tone, but if what Ponder said was true, that meant he was a critical part of the UNSC's fight against the insurrection, that his presence on Harvest was just as odd as Avery and Burns.
"Let's not beat around the bush, Staff Sergeant. Trebuchet. It's in your file, Burns too, and I've spent the last 2 weeks wondering the exact same thing."
The captain bit the tip off his cigar.
"Why would the Corps send two of its meanest sons of bitches way out here?" "I was hoping you might shed some light on that, sir."
"Hell if I know." Ponder removed a silver lighter with a hinged top from his pants pocket, cracked it open, and began stoking his cigar. "Fleetcom hasn't been all that free with information," he said between puffs, then snapping the lighter shut, "since they gave me a demotion." Something clicked in Avery's head. Of course, he thought. The CO of a Marine battalion would be at least a lieutenant colonel, two pay grades higher than Ponder's current captain rank. But Avery had no idea what this meant with respect to the larger question. If anything, Ponder's revelation made things even more confusing.
"Demotion, sir?"
he asked, treading water.
"I lost my arm," Ponder began, "in Elysium City, Eridanus II.
He put one of his boots up on the dash.
"This was back in 13. Watts and his gang were just starting to show their teeth."
Colonel Robert Watts, or that bastard to most UNSC personnel, was a Marine Corps officer born and raised in Epsilon Eridanus who had defected to the insurrectionist side early in the war. He and the group of turncoats he commanded were one of Trebuchet's priority targets. So far, no one had gotten a decent shot at him, though Avery had once come close.
"We were hoping to capture Watts' second in command," Ponder continued, taking a long drag on his cigar. "Admirals at Fleetcom wanted my battalion to go in strong, plenty of armor and air support, intimidate the locals into giving the guy up without a fight. But the town was still 50-50. Not everyone was on the Innie's side, and I thought a little restraint might help win some hearts and minds." Avery grunted.
"Must have been before my time.